Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 340, Top of the Day to You Talks.
Hello, hello.
This is definitely an episode that I thought we were going to have for many weeks. Just in my head, I kept thinking this is 340.
I mean, you could do 340 version one, yeah, 340 version two. Or A.
A, B, C.
C.
Yep. It just continues. I got a quiz for you today. Funny that. Isn't that lucky? That is about sequels, movie sequels, but not like tell me what the sequels are. It's more like this is the synopsis. What is this sequel?
Oh.
So you kind of have to have an idea of
the franchise. Original. Are they sequels that have actually been made?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, so you're not making it up.
G'day, Ed. How's it going, bud? Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is. I've got watching suggestions, but one you can't watch because it's finished.
Oh.
And it was a live play.
Oh.
But I thought, you know, you go and see these things and you think, well. I watched it and I enjoyed it.
But they're offering touring ones. So
yeah, true.
If you're not in
It's a
Sydney,
classic too. It's a classic.
Yeah, so. I studied it in high school.
I've never seen it.
What?
I knew of it, but I had absolutely no idea what it was like.
Yeah.
Can I just do a quick side note? If this for some reason sounds a bit odd, we're just going to roll with it. It's just sort of 2-year-olds
pretending to be an audio tech.
And really just used all the knobs on the mixer. But that so it's a work in progress. Mm. I think I've got it back to the way it's supposed to be. I should just take a photo of what it looks like.
Yeah, you should.
But,
or ask the 2-year-old.
Because I can hear in my headphones that it's distorting, but I'm not sure if that's just the monitoring.
Yeah.
And I'll only know when I go to edit.
Well.
And if the sound's there, I'm sorry, but that's how it's staying.
Enjoy. I mean, stop saying sorry. Just say you're welcome.
You're welcome. Do you want to get into some nyals?
Yes, I would.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Excellent. So we were talking a few weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, about Inside Out. It was last week. Because it's only been out for a couple of weeks. Another, do you want me just to say you made $100 million in its second weekend? $100 million, Inside Out 2.
Can I just say, I wish I was Inside Out 2 and that I made
$100 million
over a weekend. Just on a weekend. And then you'd never hear from me ever again.
Ever. You'd just be.
I'd be very quiet and enjoying myself.
So this one actually made more than Inside Out the original in 2015 made over its opening weekend, which made $90 million, which is a lot, right?
That's a lot.
Inside Out 2. It's just gone gangbusters.
I want to see it. I really want to see it.
Well, I kind of want to.
Have you seen the first one?
I haven't seen the first one, but I mean, obviously, it's available. I can see it on Disney Plus. It wouldn't take long to watch that and then go out to the movies. But so far, it has made globally. This is in US money, $724 million. That's almost $1 billion. Isn't that insane?
Crazy.
Insane.
Now I don't know if this was a ruse. But I heard Inside Out 3.
Oh, I mean, if you're running around with this kind of money on a sequel, you'd be mad not to, right?
Mad not to.
And you'd also be mad not to put it in cinemas.
Mm.
This proves that Disney will probably do this for most of their things, their movies again, because we will all sit either and wait for it to come out on Disney Plus, which we're paying for monthly or yearly, or we will go to the movies to watch it.
I know the movies now feel like free money, don't they?
Yeah,
like we've already got the subscription.
Yeah,
so instead of waiting, we'll all just give them extra money. Here, Disney.
Here's
$20. I don't think you've got enough.
And here's the yearly subscription.
Yeah,
it's so funny. Yeah, I was just looking at how much Dune 2 made, which made $282 million and that was in America, and $711 million worldwide. So this is now the biggest movie of the year, with Dune 2 the second biggest.
Yep.
Makes sense, I guess. Oh, this was really cool.
You are on the sequel train today.
Yeah, I am.
Are your suggestions sequels?
No.
Oh, loser.
No.
Loser.
No, the sequel train came after my watching. I saw on Stan and Amazon Prime Australia's Instagram pages, they were sort of showing off about how many Logies they've been nominated for. And I thought maybe we could have a look through them and see how many you've actually watched and me as well. Okay. So this is Stan.
I often vote for the Logies, do you?
No, I've never done it.
What?
I should do it this year.
You get a great sense of entitlement.
Okay, great.
And then I never watch the Logies, so I don't know if they won.
You can just Google it.
But I do like a good vote.
Yeah, you do. You're such a good voter. Mm. You don't get a democracy sausage though with this, unfortunately.
It's a real shame.
So annoying. Stan, Australia, congratulations to our 64th TV Week Logie Award nominees. It includes, and I will go through, nominated for Best Scripted Comedy Program, Population 11. We saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Nominated for Best Drama Program, The Tourist. It's one that I keep looking at. It's got Jamie Dornan in it and the Aussie actress whose name I can't remember right now, but she's really good.
Yes. That's on my list.
It's on my list.
I don't think I've seen it. Well,
now it's nominated.
I'll vote for you.
Nominated for Best Factual or Documentary Program was Ben Robert Smith, Truth on Trial Revealed.
I watched that.
Okay. Wolf Like Me, you watched that?
I watched that.
That is nominated. Ariel Donahue is nominated for Best Supporting Actress in that one. Population 11 once again. Ben Feldman, Best Lead Actor in a Comedy.
Yeah.
We haven't even finished. This is insane.
No, keep going. I'm enjoying this. This is a good quiz for me.
Lincoln Younes, I think is how you pronounce his name. It looks like Youngs, but instead of the G and E's in there.
Mm.
He has been nominated for Best Lead Actor in a Comedy as well. So they're going head to head in Court.
I haven't seen Court.
Same. Scrublands has been nominated, or at least Jay Ryan, for Best Supporting Actor, which that's another one that I've looked at and I've been so close to watching, but I haven't yet.
Got some good stuff.
So much good Aussie. This is where the Aussie stuff is now. Now, Prime.
Wait, hang on. I just need to tell a little story.
Okay.
It's a Stan story.
Okay.
Many moons ago on this podcast with a previous host, we were talking about, it was before everybody had every subscription. You only had like one or two. And we were having the conversation of which one would you get that you don't already have? And I said, I'd get Stan. That's next on my list. Well, did I get shot down being that would be the worst choice ever. Why would you ever get that one? That's why. Because of all the nominations.
That is a lot of, and it's literally, I feel like at least anecdotally, you know, just listening to you, it's one that you go to often to look for stuff.
And it is the one that, you know, when you've maybe started something on Netflix and then because you're on there pressing play all the time, you see another one, so you start another one. It's when you go, I need something new
to
watch.
Fresh.
I go to Stan and there is this plethora of amazing stuff that you think, what do I choose?
I've been rewatching. Of course I have been, 30 Rock.
Oh,
that's what I was watching over the weekend.
Yeah,
I've been rewatching 30 Rock on there. Amazon, okay. I like as well, and actually quite a lot of this stuff we've watched.
Okay.
So they've been nominated for 8 Logies this year. Best miniseries or telemovie is The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart. I watched that. That includes, the nominations haven't finished for Lost Flowers. Best Lead Actress in a Drama. I don't know, Sigourney Weaver.
Oh.
Hang on.
Now, is she not stretching? I mean, in a good way, not stretching in a bad way, but Sigourney Weaver is now up for a Logie.
It's so dumb. Like, you
she's
might as
100%
well.
She's 100%
going to
win.
She's going to
win. Like, as if she's not going to
win. Putting on a half American, half Australian accent in it.
It's also Sigourney Weaver. If you want to catapult the Logies. Sigourney Weaver, Logie winner.
The Logies must have seen that this movie, series was getting filmed and they were like, good.
Mm.
This is our time to
shine. This is it.
We're going to, Best Supporting Actress?
Yep.
I don't know, Lea Purcell?
Yep.
And the Graham Kennedy Award for Most Popular New Talent?
Mm.
Aaliyah Brown.
Nice.
So that's really good. Oh, okay.
Tell me more. Are you going to the next service?
Are you ready? No, this is more Prime.
Okay.
I'm finished.
I'm really enjoying this.
Best Scripted Comedy Program.
Yeah.
Deadlock.
Yeah.
That was good. Best Lead Actress in a Comedy. Kate Box. Best lead actress in a comedy, Madeline Sammy.
Yeah.
Oh, I love those two. They were so good. They were so different. Oh, my God. I really hope they do that second season.
Tell me more.
Best factual or documentary program. I think this is the one that will win. Hot Potato, The Story of the Wiggles.
100%.
Isn't that good? Isn't that great?
As if the Wiggles aren't going to win. And if they don't.
I know. There'll be an uproar. Absolutely. Be an uproar. So that's fun, right?
Yeah.
That's really good. And I've got some more good news. And this is sparking the sequels, right? I'm finished with the Logies.
Oh, I really wanted something more. I wanted you to do like... Who else is there?
Just go through the list.
On Demand. ABC Ivy.
Oh, they'll have to be alone, surely, right?
Yeah.
It's such a massive show. Netflix and A24 are going to do a second season. It'll be an anthology of beef.
Oh.
So my spies tell me.
Yeah, of course there would be.
Oscar Isaac and Carey Mulligan this time are going to be the stars of season two. It's going to be about a feuding couple. Four people.
Anthology idea.
Me too. Nothing about, like, we've done that story. Yeah. Onto a new one. No official season two announcement for Netflix. So this is like secret spy stuff.
Gosh, I'm glad you're in the know.
Now, before Oscar and Carrie were rumoured, the rumour beforehand was Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway. But it looks like that's wrong. It's actually these guys.
Have they been in stuff before? Jakey and Annie?
Together? Mm. Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe. I mean, they're around the same age, right?
Yeah, and she's been in everything.
She's in a lot of stuff. She's in a lot.
A huge variety of stuff as well.
Yeah. Yeah, from Batman to being a princess to just – actually, speaking of anthology, she was in that – it was on Amazon, and I think she was in season one. It was about – people in New York often like love stories.
Yes, I liked
that. That was good. I can't remember what it was called. So many great actors in there, but she was in it. And her episode I actually think of quite often. It stands out because she had schizophrenia.
Nice.
So she was really high.
Yeah.
And that's when she started dating someone and then she fell.
Mm-hmm.
And plummeted, I should say, in terms of like her
mental health
and she just sort of ghosted.
Oh, she would be phenomenal.
But she couldn't help it. She just couldn't.
No.
It was so good. She was so good in that. So, yes, lots going on and lots to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's what I really like about talking about the news and I like to kind of look forward so that we can get excited about things.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of excited.
Yeah.
Watching suggestions.
I know.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Can I just say what I watched at the theatre?
Yes, please.
Death of a Salesman with Anthony LaPaglia.
Show off.
You know, okay, so this is like your Sigourney Weaver thing, right? Mm-hmm. You know when you watch someone who is famous, like works in Hollywood, has done so many different projects over so many different years, and you watch them and you go, oh,
I get it now.
That's why you actually made it. That's why you're a standout. You are famous because you're actually amazing.
Amazing.
And he was. Next level. Now,
accent. Did they all have it?
All had American accents. His was obviously the best because it's easy for him.
That's all he talks in now.
Exactly. But in all honesty, all the others, I don't think I even noticed a slip at all. Do you remember the Kettering incident?
Yeah.
Do you remember her father in it?
Mm-hmm.
He was in this. He played Ben, who was kind of like a ghost or something.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So Death of a Salesman is set, what would you say, late 40s, early 50s, that kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do reference, I'll remember when we had that 1928 car or something.
Mm.
And, it feels like it was a long time ago. So I think it sits around there, especially the outfits that they wore, the costumes.
Yeah, and it was very much in the...
I mean, it was a door-to-door salesman as well.
Yeah. Like I want to say the Depression, but just out of that. But Struggle Street.
Yeah, Struggle Street. Mm. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And it was amazing to me that something that was so famous... And, you hear Death of a Salesman, you go, yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know it.
No.
I realised when I sat down, I was like, I actually don't know what this is about.
Yeah.
I mean, is it about Death of a Salesman? Maybe. Like it could not be. Yeah, you know what I mean?
True. Yeah.
So you studied it.
I studied it. Maybe year 10. I can't quite place it, but I did like top English and I had this phenomenal teacher and it, I don't know if it was her choices, but she brought in some incredible stuff for us to study. And that was one where it felt like, oh, this is different.
We're doing something special. We're,
yeah. Mm. It's not the obligatory Shakespeare.
Yeah, sure.
It's not Space Demons.
Should have been. But yeah.
But we did that in the year before.
We'd already done it.
But yeah, a really, and because it's written like a play as well. So really interesting. Yeah.
Have you ever, you've never seen it?
I've never seen it live.
It has to be a film, right?
I'm sure it's a film.
Surely. Surely. I'll look that up whilst you talk about something that you've watched.
Well, now I feel that my thing's really...
I watched a rubbish thing. No, yeah. You didn't. It's just different.
It's really different. I didn't go to the theatre, but I was... Okay, I'm going to switch it because I can't possibly go to the thing that I was going to talk about because that's just...
Oh, that's so funny.
That's just...
Oh, my gosh, there's so many different Death of a Salesman. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Dustin Hoffman, 1985. There's one.
I don't think I've seen that.
There's one from the
60s
as well.
Yeah, I think I've seen the 60s.
One from the 50s. It's, yeah, it's everywhere.
So, pivoting a little bit, but not as much as I should be. But I'll get to that. And that is a pun. You'll get it later as to why it's a pivot. Okay.
We'll hold on to it.
I watched on Disney Under the Bridge.
Downtown? Is this... Not Red Hot Chili Peppers?
No, it's called well, that's what I thought as well. And the colours kind of make me feel like it's the album, but it's Under the Bridge.
Okay.
So it's a drama crime show. So I know that's going to tickle a lot of listeners' fancies. Under the Bridge, Disney. It's set in 1997. So already it's got, doesn't feel nostalgic, kind of just feels in place.
Can I just tell you this amazing reel? I don't know what it was, where I saw it, because you know, you see them and you're like, I'm never going to see this again. And it was a guy, he was like contemplating in his car or something. And it was like just having a think about how people born in the year 2000 are 24 years old, which is the exact same age that I am, and I was born in 1984.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
That's why it hits, the 1997. Yeah. I'm like, that's a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it feels normal. Like, you know how Sex Education, you could never quite place
it.
You couldn't place the year. This one is dead set in 1997, but it doesn't feel like... Oh, look at their outfit. And maybe that's because the 90s fashion is back in now.
Yeah, it is.
Or are we just utterly comfortable with it? I digress. That's nothing about the show. It's just
us.
Just an observation. Yeah. Anyway, it is based on a true story.
Okay.
And it's set in a really quiet, kind of isolated island of British Columbia. And it...
Oh, this sounds good.
Yeah, it's good. It... is centered around a 14-year-old girl. Now, she looks a lot older than 14.
So, like, well, that's good. Beverly Hills 90210 would cast very old people to play teenagers.
So it's in the 90s. It's fitting in. It's that whole 90s thing of we don't hire underage people.
You're 30?
We're
perfect.
30. Yeah. So it follows her, and she comes from a fairly good home family, but culturally fairly different from the other people who live on this island. And she sort of gets embroiled with the bad girls of town. And there's a home for troubled girls who can't be at home. So they go to kind of a shared house situation. And she sort of gets caught up in them. And it's that pull of wanting to be part of the in crowd and not quite fitting in and not sure if it is her. That's the thing. And they go to a party and she ends up missing. What's really interesting is the timeline continues to jump all the time. So you find out fairly quickly who goes missing, and then there are little red herrings along the way as to who did what to her and who was involved. But it keeps jumping back. So it's...
Is it obvious or is it a bit confusing?
Completely obvious.
Okay.
Because...
Oh, because she's there.
She goes missing really quickly and then she's there.
Yeah,
so you know that when it jumps back. They also give you timeline little marks.
Yeah, sure.
To remember. But it is interesting because it starts off and you have such preconceived ideas of what this is. And then as the story unfolds, you're like, oh, oh, okay. Yeah, wasn't expecting that. That completely threw me. So even though they're giving you actual information, you're not piecing it together straight away.
Okay.
And it's interesting.
A series, you said?
It is a series. Okay. Let me check how many.
Have you finished it?
I haven't.
Ooh.
I've got,
you're
going to play on it.
You're just going to watch. I'm just going to watch it now.
I'm watching it now. There are 8 episodes.
Okay.
I haven't finished.
Okay.
I haven't finished.
You got something, yeah, you can enjoy it, an episode every night.
I do believe there are many people who listen to our show who would enjoy this one. So it's there. When you log on to Disney.
Well, Disney, yeah.
Disney,
of course it was. I heard the Disney.
Yeah, it's showing. It's showing. So it's called Under the Bridge.
Okay.
Really interesting. So many. Bridge.
British Columbia.
So many characters that have just interwoven in this story.
1997, British Columbia. Have you heard Jagged Little Pill yet?
I'm sure they have. But the girls in it are into Biggie.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
so
okay.
They're going
so
down
different.
That
okay.
route.
Yeah. So no Shania Twain, so don't impress me much.
No losers.
Yeah.
But these guys are too cool.
They're too cool for that. Come on.
Cool for
get
that.
Over it.
Yeah.
Far out. Well, I have jumped back into something, I don't know, called Game of Thrones. Have you heard of it?
Back or just...
Oh, new. Season 2, episode 1. I have not watched the second episode as of this recording because it comes out now.
Okay.
It was a bit hard to do it
whilst
watching.
I mean, look, I just pressed play.
Oh, yeah, I can. Well, I'll start then.
It's called multitasking.
Yeah, exactly. So this is coming off the beginning of a bit of a war between two parts of a family after the patriarch dies.
Ooh.
Promises something. Other people say, you're lying.
Okay.
We want to be in charge. And other people say, but I was promised to be in charge. And they're like, nah. And they're like, let's have a fight.
Why not?
And then they go, all right, let's get on some dragons. And the one with the bigger dragon, who stole the dragon from a girl.
Yeah.
A cousin, I think, if I remember correctly, kills his cousin and the little dragon.
Oh, why?
So unfair,
can't,
right?
It's like horses. Stop
so
with it.
So now we're back. We're back. And people are not happy. No one's having a good time.
Not, I'm not
no
happy
one is having a
that.
Good time at all. And I had forgotten that this Game of Thrones also has the exact same theme song of Game of Thrones.
I'm getting super confused.
House of the Dragon has the Game of Thrones theme.
Yep.
But instead of the like almost like the clockwork wooden mobiles of the different towns and cities.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tapestry being woven.
Oh, cool.
And you're like.
The black background.
Yeah.
I can picture it.
Tapestry being woven about this family that is all feuding and everybody wants to be in charge.
Clever.
Everybody's getting hurt. Everybody's making bad decisions. And the end of that first episode, you're like, oh, they bloody went there.
And they did.
How did they? I can't believe they went there. And then you go, well, hang on a second, it's Game of Thrones. Of course they went there.
Of course
there.
I can. No one's safe.
No one's safe.
No.
It was very full on, but then you remember that it's Game of Thrones and like, okay, I may have seen worse before. Really good. I'm so excited about it. I have got many other things I wanted to talk about, but I just had to point out the fact that this is back.
Yeah.
And it's really worth watching.
Nice. What's it on?
This is on HBO. I think they call it Max. I don't know what they call it anymore, but I'm watching it on Foxtel or Binge.
Yeah. Okay, nice.
Here in Australia. Okay, what was your other pivot?
My other pivot.
That would have been hard to come straight after Death of a Salesman?
Yes, because, you know, the theatre. I have I'll admit it. I have been waiting for this doco to launch, and I tried to watch it a couple of weeks ago, but it hadn't actually been released yet.
What was it?
It's American Sweethearts, the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders. Right. So
I don't actually think you talked about it on the podcast.
No, I didn't, because it hadn't come out yet. Yeah. I went to I got the date wrong. Hence the pivot. They're dancers.
So now I feel like that there's been a series. Okay.
So previously in the early 2000s, noughties.
That feels about right.
That's about right.
And I think you watched it.
Yeah, I did. Mm. Lots of people watched it.
I know you weren't the only one, but I'm just like.
So that one was called DCC, Making the Team. Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders.
I do not remember that name at all.
Well, don't think you watched it. Obviously. It was a bit more of a reality kind of game show. I'm not talking Wheel of Fortune game show. I'm
like
talking
Idol,
like
Idol kind of thing.
Idol where they really.
Pop stars.
Yeah, very much the Idol thing. Like here, it's a mass call out. You just come, dance, can't dance, but you're still there, dance. We're going to kick people out. Now we're going to like whittle it down. It was very much about the selection process. They talked about a bit more of the legacy of DCC and the Cowboys and all of that sort of stuff. This one is a Netflix doco. So it has that formula and that feel of a Netflix doco.
I love that you know how that feels because you watch quite a lot of them.
Yeah, I do.
And they can be really, really different topics.
Really different topics. But I feel like the storytelling and the filming of it is very similar.
Isn't that funny? There's a Netflix documentary genre.
Yeah. And it's not unlikable. It's fine.
Oh, you've just noticed it. That's all.
I've just noticed it. So this one is more about Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders as a whole. So they do the typical doco of let's choose a couple of people who are likely candidates. Let's choose the people who are returning veterans still auditioning.
Oh, okay.
Let's look at the people who are legacies. So their mothers were part of Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders and now they're auditioning.
So it's kind of like trialing for a team.
It's still trialing
for
a team,
isn't it?
And then the big difference is, and this might be the thing that gets people who have watched Making the Team and enjoyed it. Like I know our cousin Imi, she watched it as well. The big difference is they continue past Making the Team. So the previous one just stopped. And so you're like, all this build up and you never actually got to see them perform. So you never got to see the game day and all of
annoying.
That. So this one travels into the season. The other big difference is Netflix obviously has a bit more money and has bought the licensing rights for the
to
songs.
The music.
So they have a very, very famous routine to AC/DC's Thunderstruck.
Oh, okay.
And it's how they open every single game.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
Iconic for them.
So it'd be strange for them not to.
Yeah, so Making the Team, they didn't have the money for it. So it was just random free tracks.
and some poor audio editor had
trying really hard. Fire. And you knew it didn't work. But then when you actually watched the real one, you're like,
that's
makes
why
sense.
They do it every
so
week.
So this one, you see it, you see how they enter, all of that sort of stuff. There are some fairly dark bits where they talk about mental health and suicide and eating disorders and that really dark side that the other one absolutely didn't touch with a 10-foot pole. But it's nice that they've spoken about it and it makes people multifaceted with which they are.
Like real people.
Yeah, real people. And the struggles that they have because this is a really intense culture where perfection
and competition.
Yeah, and it rains. And what's so interesting is obviously the Dallas Cowboys make millions of dollars and the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders make a lot of money merchandise-wise for them. They are iconic, probably more so than the football team for a lot of people. They don't get paid much.
That's,
They just don't. And there was this conversation about whether they take 36 or 37 people into the squad. And the, one of the C-level people of the corporation. She was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want people to come in as like an extra and you're a stand-in, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, I'm reading between the lines on that
budget.
Budget. Mm. You don't want to pay us one more extra person.
Mm.
So they're a team that has to work like formations and everything with no reserves. Like that doesn't happen in shows.
That's insane.
You've always got swings or understudies.
It doesn't happen in the Dallas Cowboy football team.
Yeah, exactly right.
Mm.
So anyway, interesting doco. I think if you've never seen the other one, you'll be okay.
Okay.
But if you have seen it, there's a few extra things and few familiar faces that
really?
You're happy to come back and be like, oh,
interesting.
That one.
Yeah, you can jump back
and
in.
And a lot of people don't have a big part in this doco, but you spot them and you're like, I know who that is. Good. It was good.
Oh, cool. Like coming back to old friends that you forgot existed.
Yeah. It's like the reboot. Yeah. That you didn't know you wanted.
Yeah, but apparently you did. And just enough as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Time for a quiz?
Yes, please.
Movie sequel, synopsis, good luck. In this zany sequel, I just got the ones from Google, time-travelling duo return from saving one of their future sons from disaster.
Back to the Future 2.
Good job. I thought I'd leave all the names in and see how I sweat by trying to self-edit we go. Telecommunications guru, I think I'm going to say the names because I don't know. I haven't watched it. It's very famous. I've not watched it, but maybe
put the
you.
Names in.
Winston Diva.
You're all good.
Enlist Elastigirl to fight crime and make the public fall in love with the superheroes once again. That leaves, name withheld, with one of his greatest challenges ever, staying home and taking care of three rambunctious children as Violet, Dash and Jack-Jack offer him a new set of headaches, a cyber criminal named Screenslaver launches his dastardly plan, hypnotizing the world through computer screens.
Have you made this
no.
up?
No. Okay.
It's a dream. Sounds ludicrous.
It's a family of superheroes. It's animated.
The Incredibles 2. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, because it's sequel. Yeah. And I'm saying the first one. I've never seen it.
I wasn't sure if maybe. Like,
this is nuts.
I wasn't sure.
Who's Violet and Rara?
I bet you in a month time, you'll be like, I've watched that stupid movie 400 times.
And I'm on Violet's side.
Yeah. Ah, good. The adventure continues in this sequel.
Of course it does. No, the adventure stopped and now we're really boring.
This crew, all the names withheld,
crew.
Face attack by certain kind of forces and it's
Star Wars. Episode 2.
Not episode 2. Yes, what's it called?
I've totally got my Empire Strikes back. Oh my God, my brain wasn't even ticking. It just went like this.
Hilarious. After floating in space for 57 years, Lieutenant Ripley's shuttle is found by Deep Space Salvage Team. Well, a Deep Space Salvage Team. Upon arriving, the Marines find only one survivor, a 9-year-old girl named Newt. But even these battle-hardened Marines with all the latest weaponry are no match for the hundreds of aliens in this colony.
Alien. Two.
Aliens.
Aliens.
Did you hear Eddie say nut? He's gone. He's like, if you're talking about aliens, I am out.
Yeah, I would too.
He walked off.
I've never seen that.
I have. That was the one that.
I didn't realise it was a space and a deep sea adventure.
No, it's not deep sea.
You said deep
Did
sea.
Did I?
No. Didn't you?
Deep Space Salvage Team.
I don't know if you said space.
Probably not.
I think you did.
That sounds like something I would do. Name withheld is a wide-eyed blue tangfish who suffers from memory loss. You okay? You all right?
You okay? I know what it is, but I want you to keep going.
Okay. memory loss every 10 seconds or so. The one thing she can remember is that she somehow became separated from her parents as a child with help from her friends Nemo and Marlin. Dory.
Oh, okay.
You already knew.
I knew, but they might
not. Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Embarks on an epic adventure to find them. Her journey brings her to the Marine Life Institute, a conservatory that houses diverse ocean species. Dory now knows that her family reunion will only happen if she can save Mom and Dad from captivity.
It's finding Dory.
Correct. Well
Was
done.
Is that Ellen? Still yes. Vicing. Vicing that one.
Vicing.
Check out the vice house.
Name withheld is living in India when he is framed by Russian agent Krill for a theft of millions from the CIA. Krill begins to pursue Name Withheld, intending to assassinate him. But while Name Withheld and his girlfriend Marie are on the run, a shot meant for him kills her instead.
Is it Bourne?
Yeah, Supremacy.
I was about to say Legacy Ultimatum. Yeah, I don't know which one.
A whole heap of them. Good. Have you read the books? I think I've read the first one.
I've never read the books.
I think we gave them to Dad every year for his birthday, one at a time.
Oh, so they'd still be around then.
We've probably got them in the
– yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like watching them again.
They're good.
Matt Damon was really good.
He's so good. He's really good.
Supremacy, that's the second one. Look, I think all of that was amazing and I feel...
Would you like to do a sequel next week?
A sequel of the sequel?
Yeah.
We could do the... Name the third.
Treacle.
Do you want to do one
of... Treacle. Delicious.
Do you want to just guess Return of the Jedi now?
Yeah.
Okay. Correct.
And episode 3.
Yeah, you'd be right. And the coming of the Jedi. I can't remember what that one's called. Attack of the Jedi's. Attack of the Clones.
Rise of the Skywalker.
Rise of the Skywalker. Come on, there's a lot.
You're doing well.
Thank you.
Not at all.
No, terrible.
Yeah.
So I think on that note, it's time for us to go. Stephanie, thank you very much.
Shrek the Third.
Oh, good. Mm.